Hi, it's Brock Romanek, editor of thecorporatecouncil.net. I'm here today with David Seleppi, who's a chair and partner of Gunster's Securities and Corporate Governance Practice down in Florida. And David's had firsthand experience with the new G registration process for financial institutions under the Jobs Act, so I thought I'd catch up with him on that hot topic. So the first question for you, David, is how does the Jobs Act facilitate the ability of banks to deregister?
Yeah, thanks, Brock. I guess at least for the next last 60 years or so, you know, the Exchange Act has required all companies with anything with more than 10 million in assets or 500 shareholders to register under the 34 Act. So that's become quite a burden on any company when they start reaching that 500 limit. But for community banks, especially because they have a lot of small local investors, that 500 shareholder limit's easily reached. So the Jobs Act has been a great relief to the banks and bank holding companies, because Title VI of the Jobs Act increases that 500 shareholder limit to 2,000 or more persons, and it also allows for any bank or bank holding company that has less than 1,200 shareholders to deregister under the 34 Act. And also, how to count your shareholders has slightly changed. Any person or, you know, any former employee who received its, or current employee who's received his shares under an employee benefit plan was exempt from Section 5, those shareholders are exempt from the count. You should know that if they did receive shares under a registration statement, an S-8, those would count towards your 2,000 limit. But that does really help a lot of bank and bank holding companies deregister under this Jobs Act.
So what has the CorpFin staff's been the guidance so far on this topic?
They've been issuing FAQs on the Jobs Act in general since it's been enacted. And on April 11th, they issued five specific FAQs on the deregistration process, and that's available on the SEC website.
And what about the internal process for a bank? Since you've been through this, what is the actual process that they need, the steps they need to consider when they are to determine whether they're eligible to deregister?
Yeah, I mean the deregistration process is similar to a going dark process. You know, you have to remember that the deregistration process is kind of going through different layers of reporting obligations. It's kind of like walking down a three rung ladder. You know, with the top rung being the 12B reporting obligations, and then the 12G, and then finally the 15D obligations. So if you're registered on an exchange, you know, you need to delist from your exchange and terminate your 12B registration, mm-hmm. Which is done by giving your exchange 10 days advance written notice, issuing a press release, and which would also trigger an 8K obligation. When that 10-day waiting period's over, you'll file your Form 25, and that's effective 10 days after the Form 25 is filed. Once your 12B obligations are suspended, any 12G obligations will now come into effect. And banks and bank holding companies might have 12G obligations if a lot have filed the Form 10 after crossing that 500 shareholder limitation, or if you were listed on NASDAQ prior to 2006. Because at that time they were not a national exchange, so you would have 12G obligations come back. And to suspend your 12G obligations, you'll need to file a Form 15. The trick here, though, that's a little bit different, is that the Form 15 hasn't yet been amended to reflect the changes in Section 12G4. So if you look at the FAQs, they tell you that you'll need to include an explanatory note on your Form 15 saying that you're relying on Section 12G4 as amended by the Jobs Act. Now, Section 12G doesn't terminate your registration for 90 days. So you still have to finish filing your reports for that 90-day period. You should also note that Rule 12G4, which most issuers would typically rely upon to immediately suspend its filing obligations, hasn't yet been amended. So it still refers to a 500 shareholder limit. So you can't rely on Rule 12G4 for the immediate suspension of your reporting obligations. So you still have that 90-day period. And then once your 12G obligations are suspended, any 15D reporting obligations would also need to be terminated, which you can also do in a Form 15.
That really is one of the more complicated areas of the securities laws. What about the board, did they pass a resolution? Did the board get involved in the process?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there is some potential for liability because, any kind of market that your shares had will obviously have been dried up. So there is some liability here. So your board is going to have to go ahead and pass a resolution to start the process and consider, the liability weighed against the costs of being public. But for the banks and community banks and bank holding companies, typically the potential legal liability is much less than the actual cost of being public, including the audit and SEC attorney fees. So it's usually, in my experience, it's been pretty much a no-brainer for the board.
And was a special board meeting called for that purpose, or is that?
It can be a special board meeting, or it can be at their next regularly scheduled board meeting. In my case, it's always been regularly scheduled board meetings because there's no time limit as to when they can go ahead and do this. It really just depends on how quickly they want to start the process to deregister.
Yeah. Any surprises when doing one of these?
I wouldn't say a surprise, but there are some stumbling blocks, as you can imagine. If the bank or bank holding company has an S3 or an S8 out there, and it's filed its Form 10-K and this year, then it's going to still be subject to its Section 15D reporting obligations for the remainder of the year, right? So a bank with a 12/31 year end will still need to file its three 10-Qs and its 10-K for the year end, which is pretty disheartening, I guess, for a bank, especially banks that have been clobbered by their banking regulators over the past couple of years. If they wanted to get out, they saw the end of the tunnel for the SEC reporting obligations. They still have probably another 9 months left to get out of that process. You can get relief. You can try to seek relief from the SEC by filing a no action relief request under Rule 12H3. Which depends on facts and circumstances, but if you sold any shares under that S3 or S8, it's going to be unlikely that you'll get relief. You probably need to also look at Staff Legal Bulletin 18 for some more information about that. But another tip, actually, is that if you do have an S3 or an S8 out there, make sure you deregister those shares before you file your next 10-K. Otherwise, you end up restarting your 15-D obligations for another year. So you want to make sure that you deregister before your next 10-K.
Well, this is great stuff, David. Thanks for giving us some practical knowledge about what the process is, because it definitely is a tricky one. Thanks.
Thanks, Brooke.